They even went as far as to have the animals fast and the whole thing, the whole bit. And then God sees that they actually heard the word of Jonah and changed from their ways, and he decides not to destroy it. Probably the most successful sermon of all time. 5 words and everybody got it. And they all did what was asked, right? Great, brilliant, perfect. Except Jonah is really, really ticked. Because you know what those people are like, those Ninevites, those dirty, rotten, stinking people. I didn't want to go there in the first place. And God was going to smite these people. I was looking forward to some spoiling. And I went and I told them, and I proudly proclaimed those 5 words about how they will be smote, because I knew that God would do it, and then God did not do what I wanted God to do, and now I am really, really petulant and upset, and I'm going to be really upset with God. And he's all complaining about the heat, too. It's a little hot, apparently, in Nineveh. So God causes a tree to spring up to give shade to Jonah. And Jonah places himself in the shade and feels pretty good right now. Oh, thank God for shade. But then God destroys the tree. God is great in this story, I've got to tell you. God destroys the tree, and all of a sudden Jonah feels the heat again, in more ways than one, and says, I can't believe this. It never ends. You keep coming back at me with this stuff. And then God reminds Jonah that he has the ability to grow the tree or destroy the tree. He has the ability to call the people of Nineveh to better account, and he has the ability to forgive them. He has the ability to do it all. And that's the end of the story. Now, never in there anywhere do we hear much about Jonah being, thankful or redeemed or any of that stuff, or going, oh, yay, God, I get it, here we go. Jonah is not, you know, I don't know, not the most desirable character in the world, if you ask me. So this business of following, to go back to where I began, is really tough work, because Jonah can testify that sometimes Jesus calls us to go to people that we don't want to go to. Jesus Christ is dancing in the streets. But that's not like that 80s song. All the words of that hymn that we just sang, the places that we're called to go and be, sometimes we can be a little harsh in our hearts about the people that we're called to serve. And so we're being reminded today that as we are called, it's not so much about the immediacy or the willingness for us to give everything up to go follow. It's about actually the long term, which is really the hard work. I mean, it's easy to hang out and serve with people we like, the folks who are here. You know, I mean, sometimes we even find that hard. We get disagreements even in the church. I don't want to say that's true, but sometimes it happens. But when we're called out of here and we go to places that are tough, we can be a bit like Jonah. We can sort of get a little bit up on our high and mighty horse. And so John Hulbert writes this. He says that in this story of Jonah, the tale tells us, the story tells us who the bum is. He's any religious person who claims to know and follow the ways of God. This person can quote the scripture inside and out, as Jonah does several times in the story, can pray up a storm, just as Jonah did in the belly of the fish, or in Jonah's case, after a storm in a fish's belly, he says. This person can imagine herself as a prophet of God, but in reality, this person is the rankest of hypocrites. Scripture serves only their purposes, and God is a lapdog, he writes, called upon to affirm the narrow things they already believe. In short, Jonah is a prophet gone bad, a religious mountebank, an ecclesiastical huckster. Unfortunately, Jonah did not die a long time ago. He's alive and well and living among us, and too often in us. And that's not something we find hard to accept. Or that is something we find hard to accept, pardon me. So he goes on to write, whenever we use the Bible to exclude, to deny, to reject living creatures of God, there is Jonah, alive and well. Whenever we say we'll follow God, here I am, send me, but then we, in fact, follow our own bigoted desires or our own narrow-minded ways, there is Jonah. Whenever we hope that persons who are not like us, who do not sound like us, who do not think like us, who do not act like us, should be removed from our company or from the earth by some edict of God. There is Jonah. Jonah keeps getting reborn, he writes, and wreaking havoc in the world. So he reminds us about the story of Jonah and the fish and says, history is not the important part here. History is true once, while a story is true forever, and this story keeps living in our day. So that is why it's crucial for us to see and to preach the story of Jonah. We're called to go to difficult places. And we can be guilty of saying, oh no, not me, I'm not going there. I'll do whatever you want, God, but not those people. And then when God actually does something redeeming for people we don't like, we get all upset about that too. So somehow, some way, here we are reminded that Jesus is revealing himself to us as he chooses best, not as we would choose. Albert Schweitzer wrote this, and I'll conclude here because you've had enough of me. Again, you people are not that well-humored. Said that last week and everybody... Schweitzer writes this, he comes to us as one unknown without a name as of old by the lakeside. He came to those who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, follow thou me. And he sets us to task which he has to fulfill for our time. God commands, and those who obey, whether they be wise or simple, to them God will reveal God's self in the toils, the conflicts, and the sufferings that we pass through in God's fellowship. And as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who God is. And so we're called into relationship, you and me. We'll figure out who God is. It's just sometimes we're going to be surprised at the difficult places where we find Jesus present. Amen.